Amen. Good morning. How are you doing? Awesome. I love response. You keep this up. It's a good relationship. All right. So I live in Rochester. I don't live in Rochester. I'm from Rochester, New York. And I just wanted to thank y'all for having me. I know y'all, it doesn't sound like you're from Rochester, right? So we'll talk about that a little later. But let's open to Psalm 96. I just want to read the portion of scripture from the Word of God, because the Word of God is awesome. Yeah, and it's fun to read aloud. So yeah, that's a suggestion. If you ever get bored of reading the Word of God, which sometimes it can happen, it can come a little dry, just open up a Bible verse and read it in an English accent. And so, thank you. Yeah, so no, it makes it fun if you read the Bible aloud. So I enjoy reading the Psalms aloud and singing the Psalms. Quite a good time to worship. It brings new levels and dimension to your prayer life. Anyway, Psalm 96, I said all that to give you time to go there. Psalm 96, verse 1 through 10. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all of the gods of the peoples are worthless idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Father, thank you for the reading of your word. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you do reign. You do reign, and all the nations one day will say and declare that great truth, Lord, which we get to say now, the Lord reigns, and all the nations will tremble before you, Father. Thank you, God, that you reign. We thank you, Lord, that we could trust in your almighty sovereign power, God. And Lord, we just thank you, Father, that you call us and you partner with us to reach the nations, God. And so, Lord, I pray for your presence, and you are already here. So I just pray for your help. I pray that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear, Lord, what you're saying, God. I pray you'd move in our midst, Lord. I pray you would increase our vision, increase our capacity to see you as great. You're so great and you're so mighty, Lord. Help me communicate that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So good. I love talking about God's awesomeness, right? I love Psalm 2 because in Psalm 2, it gets all these nations gathered before him, and he just kind of laughs at them. Ha, 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 foolish mortals. And literally, the Lord laughs or scoffs from heavens. All the nations gather before him to rage war against God, and God looks down from heaven, and he laughs. He laughs. And then he calls the nations to kiss his son. To kiss his son. What an epic view of the supremacy of God over all things, that he laughs at nations who attempt in their feebleness to wage war against the holy God. And so, man, those kind of things move me. And so I love reading that and getting a vision of the greatness of God, because you have to when you're talking about missions. I wasn't born a missionary. I wasn't raised in the church. And so I like to talk a little bit about my story. Because so often when you see a missionary, you think they fast 40 days a month, or they pray 8, I think it's only 30 days a month, though. It's a punchline. They would think they pray 8 hours a day, like it's my full-time job to pray and fast. It's not true. As a matter of fact, I hate fasting. I'm going to write a book called Why I Hate Fasting and Reasons You Should Too. It's going to be very encouraging in spiritual formation. So anyway, I'm just a person who just said yes to God. To get me to say yes to God was a long journey. I felt my family was in, my dad was in the military, so we moved around a lot. Every 2 years, I was in a new high school, so I was always the new kid, or the outcast, or the one who didn't belong, and didn't feel a part of, and so that kind of was my identity, and I just received that, or whatever. And then I was like 15, and I went to this youth outreach camp, or missions camp, because my cousins were in the missions, and my family wasn't, but my cousins were, and it was in Florida. And there's a ministry called Teen Mania, Ron Luce, and he took teenagers and sent them to the nations and brought them back. I think that's awesome. And so in 1 week, I gave my life to Jesus, learned about missions, and was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Like, I was just like, wow. My mind was blown. I didn't know who Jesus was one day, and then I did. And then the next day, I didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit, and there was. And then missions. I don't even know what that even means, but it sounds like mission. You know, it was fun. And so I felt like there was a call of God on my life, and some other people kind of recognized that at age 15 years old. And so I went back to my high school to preach the gospel. I bought like these cool Jesus t-shirts. You remember the Lord's Gym t-shirt from the 80s, and it had Jesus doing push-ups? And it had like a cross on the thing, like Gold's Gym, Lord's Gym. Okay, so maybe not. I just dated myself a little bit, so that's okay. So I had all the t-shirts, and then I had the Bible tracts, and I was going into the city, in the inner city of Jacksonville, Florida, and then going to the beaches, Jacksonville Beach, and preaching the gospel, bringing punk rock skinheads back to my church. And then they were racist. But I went to a black Pentecostal church. That didn't really work out too well. And I didn't know any better. I just needed, they needed Jesus. And my church was awesome. And so I brought them to church. And we sat in the back, and they had their red suspenders on and everything. It was weird. So I eventually, our youth group was going on a mission trip. And I wanted to go. I knew it was all for me. I was all in. And then one day, I don't even remember why, but the youth pastor said, you can't come, and I was devastated. I felt rejected. I already had that kind of issue going on. I was hurt. Like, why wouldn't you go? I've given up football team. I've given up football to come to your youth group, man. Like, and I was really, really hurt by that. And I remember I got so mad and so hurt, I just took all my Bibles and my Bible tract, and I just burned them in the backyard. And I said, God, I'll never serve you again. I've had enough of this. I just want to be a regular teenager. Just leave me alone. Let me do my thing, man. I just want to play sports and just go to, just do me, right? And so, you know, I still dealt with shame and frustration and rejection and all of these things that we deal with as people, right? And so it just got, and then I got mad and angry, and I rebelled and started doing drugs, started smoking weed, and then it got worse and worse. And 5 years later, I was like 21 years old. I was in prison for selling drugs in Hawaii, which wasn't that bad. It really wasn't that bad. I was they had like whales in the harbor, and we watched the sun go down playing basketball. That's federal prison. I was in the military, so I got they don't like you to sell drugs in the military. It's not a good idea. And so I was doing that, and I got a bad conduct discharge. I got general court-martialed, and they threw me in prison. And my father, I come from a long line of warriors. My father was a Vietnam vet. My grandfather fought in World War II, both retired military. Both of my other brothers, two tours in Iraq, and my other brother serves, works for the Secret Service. He doesn't talk to me much because he says I'm a security risk, but he's good. I love him, and he's in El Salvador. Bless him. And so serving our country. And so that was it. I felt so much shame from that. You know, God couldn't use me, and I felt like a loser. I was a backslider, and all I ever wanted to do was be a soldier and jump out of planes and go to war. That was it. That's what I trained for. That was my dream. That was it, and that was over with. And then I was locked up behind bars, and I was just miserable. But I remembered that God was good. Like, I remembered something triggered in me, Holy Spirit, you know, and so I felt like, why don't you cry out to God? And so I cried out to God, and guess what? He heard my cry. And so I was like, I felt like God could forgive me, and God could change me. And so in that jail, I committed my life to Jesus. And for 14 months, that was my prison sentence. For 14 months, I read the Bible every day. I went to every little Bible study, every little chapel, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then in that period, I felt the Lord refresh the call of God in my life to go into the mission field? And so I said, yes, okay, I'll do that. I got out of jail. I discovered I ran into a group called Youth with a Mission, YWAM. And so I discovered a YWAM and went through their training to be a missionary. And then I went to the nations for a couple months. And so I went from jail to the nations. I know it's a little extreme, but it was just my trajectory. I just pursued the dream of God. I pursued the dream of God for my life. And then I came back to the States. YWAM offered me a staff position. And then I said, well, you got to go back home to join a church and try to get some covering, get some support, et cetera, et cetera. And so I went back to the Florida, and then where my family lived. And there was they were in the middle of revival. It was awesome in the late mid 1990s. Revival hit Florida, and we were going through different ministries. We were going to attending Rodney Howard Brown's meetings, and there was the glory of God, and there was the presence of God. It was just the weight of His glory, and just encountering the Holy Spirit. It was fantastic. It was a wonderful experience. And I was learning, God was changing and doing some things in me. And I felt I still had this call to go to missions, but I also had to get a job. And so I was working at the same time. And then I got a job in a restaurant. And so I didn't realize that there was a big party scene there in restaurants and things like that. There is, in case you don't know, there is a big party scene. And I didn't really know getting the job, but I was pretty good at it. But my friends invited me to get a beer after work. And I said, okay, sure, a beer won't hurt. And so I drank a beer. And then the next week, I had another beer. The next week, 3 weeks ago, I'm drinking almost every day after work with these guys in the middle of revival, in the middle of this call of God. And like three or four months into it, I was just drinking every day. I started using drugs again. And just the shame that came on me that I was a failure again, that I was a backslider again, that God didn't want anything to do with me again, that I was just better off dead, you know? Nobody wanted me. And just the lies that we believe, that you're useless, God doesn't love you, He doesn't care about you, you might as well just curse God and die. And that's kind of what I did. I just I got so mad and so hurt, I ran from God. I ran from God, I ran from my calling, I ran from everything that mattered. I even moved town because I didn't want to be around my family. I actually moved about an hour and a half away just so I could get away from it all. And then my addiction started getting worse and worse and worse. 15 years later, I was a homeless heroin addict in New York City, living on the streets, living on trains, living in homeless shelters, smoking crack cocaine, taking psych meds, suicidal, 8 overdoses, 17 arrests later, in and out of rehabs and mental institutions. I was miserable. My only greatest hope that this shot would kill me. And that was it. And then I would walk the streets and pick cigarettes up off the ground because I didn't have any money. I was eating, I barely ate. I eat pretty good now though. So it's funny, I went into, anyway, I won't go there. I have a time limit. So I'm homeless, I'm hopeless, and I'm just useless. And I'm addicted to drugs. And I was just so depressed. I couldn't get out of bed. I moved to New York to be a writer. I had a scholarship and everything. I was worked at some of the best restaurants as a chef. And I put it all up my nose or put it all in my arm. And I was useless. And I was living in a homeless shelter for a 21-day emergency shelter because I got kicked out of a rehab for fighting over mayonnaise. And the guy wouldn't give me the mayonnaise for the sandwich. And so I punched him because he wouldn't give it to me. And that's the kind of person I was. They kicked me out. I'm in this 21-day rehab, and then I didn't have anywhere to go. It was wintertime in New York, but God sent Teen Challenge to come into that homeless shelter, and I went, Teen Challenge is great. I love Teen Challenge. I don't know where I would be without them, but God had to close every door. I tried to get into another rehab, and God said, no, 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 no. The only door I had where I could go back to the streets, I was so tired of living on the streets, I could go to Teen Challenge. And so I went to Teen Challenge. I didn't really expecting much. I just wanted the night warm bed and some food and just to get my mind together or get something together. I had no idea. I had no expectations. But that first week, they have revival meetings once a week on a Friday, once a year. Not once a week, but once a year. That'd be awesome if they had revival once a week. I'd be so pumped. And so they had revival meetings once a year, and it was in my first week. And that Friday night, I went down Friday night. We went to the meeting because they make you go to church. And you got to tuck in your shirt and everything. You got to look really nice. And so, you go, and that first meeting, they were talking about the revival night. The guy, the preacher, was talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He was talking about revival. He was talking about living a life fully for God and fully immersed in his presence. And I was just so mad at God. I was like, I remember saying in my heart, anything but revival. Anything but this, God. Can't we just like go to therapy for a few years and talk about my childhood or something? Can't we just sit around in a circle and just talk about that? And that may work for some people. I wanted anything but God, but God had other plans. And so I was sitting in the back tier of that church, first floor, second floor. I was sitting in the back of the back, and I remember he gave the altar call to come down if you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I said to the Lord in my own little way, okay, I'll give you one more shot. I'll give you one more chance. I'll go and I'll give you my life one more chance. So I walked down to the front. I kind of assumed the position, right? You know, I knew what to do. And so I assumed a position, and a guy, the preacher, the man of God person, came and walked down off the stage, right? And then he immediately laid his hands on me. And then the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit came upon me. I was terrified. I was like, I felt like the holy fear of God and the fire of God. And I began to repent. I began to confess my sin and just tell God how sorry I was. And then I began to sweat. And I don't know if you've ever cried snot. You ever like cried snot? Like, you know, just snot and tears. I didn't know the brain had that much fluid in it. Like, where is this all coming from? Like, I don't even know what's happening to me. Like, am I leaking? Is somebody shoot me? What is going on here? And I'm sweating, I'm weeping, I'm snotting. My shirt's untucked now. I'm going to get in trouble, right? And so, and I'm just on the floor, face down in a carpet, and just crying out and travailing under the presence of God. And then someone else came by, and they laid hands on me. And then another wave of the Holy Spirit just washed over me. And this time it was more like fiery love. And I was filled with the Spirit, and I began to pray in other tongues. And I began to worship and give thanks and honor God. And I don't even know where it came from. It was just a reaction. It was not a reaction. It was a response to God's presence in my life. And so I was on that floor for like an hour. I think my tears stained that carpet there. But I went down one way, and I was delivered of addiction, cigarettes, and bipolar depression. I haven't touched psych meds, haven't touched any of those narcotics in 6 years. And that was 6 years ago. By the grace of God, I was transformed. And so I was so honored. I was so blessed because God like changed me. I couldn't change me. You know, a leopard can't change his spots, right? And God changed me. And I was so undeserving. I was so undeserving. I was like that demoniac who in the garden who was chained up and nobody wanted to talk to. I was just running around, cutting myself naked. And God said, went to there and delivered him of a legion of demons. That's what I felt like. I was delivered and set free. I was emancipated from addiction. I was emancipated from sin. I was emancipated by the power and the blood and the Spirit of God. And I was just so grateful that God would do that for me. For me. And all I ever deserved from him was judgment. I deserve hell. And he gave me himself. And he says, no, we got another plan for you. And I said, okay, that's cool. Whatever you want now, man, you got me. Like, I'll do whatever you want. Time out. Yeah, I'm with you. And so I finished Teen Challenge in that first year, and I continued to seek the Lord in Teen Challenge. And the Lord said, hey, tap, tap, tap. You want to do that missions thing again? You want to do that missions? I said, yeah, sure. Let's do missions. Anything. Anything. Whatever you want, man. I'm all yours. And so we went through, and I finished Teen Challenge, served Teen Challenge, and then started pursuing missions. I graduated Teen Challenge. After I finished my internship, I went to Haiti for 5 months, and the Lord had birthed this kind of vision of reaching unreached people groups and pioneering churches to people who've never heard. And so that came from a message that I heard by Louis Engle. He's a mighty man of God, prophetic voice to the body of Christ, and he's just calling people out to go to the nations, to unreached people groups. And I said, yeah, I can do that. And I said yes to that, and God said, okay, I can use that. I can use availability, and I can use yes. And that's really all God requires of us. And so I said yes, and I pursued. I went to Haiti. No unreached people groups in Haiti. They do need the kingdom there, but they don't need church planting in a sense. And so to unreached people groups. And so I went to Peru to learn about reaching unreached people groups. And we were going to go reach the Quechua Indians. And when we got there, they were having a missions conference, right? And so how do these unreached people send out missionaries? So I got to redefine what that means. And so, but while I was there in the 13,000 feet in the Andes Mountain in Cusco, Peru, I learned that there's an organization called Live Dead. And one of their missionaries, they were sending out five missionaries of Quechua Indians, Cuba, Egypt, Iran, Turkey, and then Afghanistan. And my mind just about blew up in my brain. I was like, wow, that's amazing that these people are going to do these kind of countries. And I kind of felt the Holy Spirit say, hey, yeah, you're in the wrong country. And I said, okay, no problem. But while I was there, I learned about Live Dead, and Chaska was this woman who was going to Egypt to plant churches to Muslims, and she didn't even speak Arabic, and she didn't even speak English because they teach Arabic and English. She spoke Spanish and Quechua, and Quechua is only spoken in Peru and South America, and so maybe in New York City too, large Quechua peace speakers. Yeah, and so, in fact, they teach Quechua at NYU, and so So I've learned about Live Dead, and they do three things. They plant churches to unreached people groups and teams. Well, that sounds wonderful. Paul always went to new cities and new territories and new places. In fact, that was his only ambition. In Romans 15:20, Paul says, my only ambition is to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, but where a church has not been started by someone else. And that's Live Dead's kind of motto, their mantra, is to go plant churches where there's none, okay? And so that made that my ambition. I didn't know that Bible verse existed. I was driving my car in Rochester, and I was listening to an audio Bible, and I heard that, and that gripped my heart. And I was like, I was arrested by that Bible verse. And I've been arrested by a few other Bible verses that I'm going to share with you right now. We have Matthew 24:14. Turn there. This is a really cool Bible verse. And so I started pursuing missions in Peru, and then I went to India. God was birthing this thing called unreached people groups and church planting in my heart. And the journey and the fun thing about God is he wants to partner with you to fulfill his purposes in the earth, and half the fun is the journey. And so I'm going on this journey with God the past 3 years. Here's another verse that's really profound. So Matthew 24:14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. That sounds like a really cool promise, right? Jesus says, I will return when all the nations hear. We'll just label that the great promise. And then we turn the page over like four pages, right? Four more chapters. And we go to Matthew 28. Matthew 28, starting with verse 17, when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. I think that's very comforting that, you know, you could see the resurrected Jesus about to ascend into glory, and you could still, hey, wait a minute, what's going on here? I don't really know what's happening. So there's comfort for you, and there's comfort for me that they doubted. They seen Jesus, they walked with Jesus, they seen him crucified, they seen his resurrected body, they seen him do all the stuff, right? And then they're like, I wonder if this guy is God or not, you know, and they still doubted. I'm sure they doubted themselves primarily. Like, could this really God use me in such a way? And so verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go, therefore, because I have all authority, because I am who I say I am, because I'm Jesus Christ, and I hold all things together by the power of my word. I'm the visible image of the invisible God, and God is putting everything under my feet. Because I have all authority, now, therefore, go into all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, love that, that's fun, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. That's a really cool commission. That's a great commission, we like to call that. We have a great promise, we have a great commission, and down here in Revelation 7:9, we have a great completion. Let's turn to Revelation 7:9, and here's John the Baptist, who's just been translated, been brought up into the heavenly realm, right, where he's seeing the throne of God. He's giving this awesome, crazy picture of what heaven looks like, and he says this: after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all the nations, of all the nations, of all the tribes, of all the peoples and tongues, standing before the throne of God, before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God, and who sits on the throne, and unto the Lamb. And so John is seeing this picture of all the nations of the earth, every tribe, every nation, every people group, everybody represented, all the nations represented before God, crying out, salvation belongs to him. So we see these three pillars, if you will. Jesus gives a great promise that says, I'll return when all the nations hear. And then in a few steps over, we have the Great Commission. All authority has been given to me. Now go to all the nations and make disciples. We have a promise. We have a commission of authority. We have a commission of power from God Almighty. And then at the end, we see the end result of all of our going, all of our efforts as the church. And we come all over here to the great completion. And we see that all the nations have been reached. Every tribe, language, tongue has been reached. We say glory to God in the highest, because that's the great completion of this great thing. God's dream for the world and for the earth is that every nation, tribe, and tongue come before him to give him glory. All the nations will come before him and ascribe greatness to God. He knows the end from the beginning. He holds all things together like nothing's outside of his genius. Nothing's outside of his ability. And he chooses to partner with you and me, his church, to do that crazy, wild assignment, right? To go into all the nations. What a privilege it is to partner with God to fulfill his dream for reality. Yeah, and so the thing from the Great Commission to the great completion, right here, Jesus says, go into all the nations, and way over yonder, down the corridor of time, right? Down the passage of time, we see the great completion, and everything in between is what we call missions. Is what we call missions. Every step, everything in between is called missions. And that's what missions is about. Missions is going to all the nations to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom so that God can reap his reward and give the nations as a gift to his son. And then Jesus says, when that happens, then the end will come. So when all of our going and all of our doing and all of our missions, we are proclaiming Jesus and him, Christ crucified, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom so that Jesus will come. And so Jesus says, I will return when all the nations hear. So how many nations are there? That's a great question. So I'm going to take a drink of water while you think of the answer. Okay, all right. So that word nations does not mean geopolitical country. All right, it doesn't mean China. It doesn't mean Mexico. It doesn't mean Belize. It doesn't mean Nigeria, etc., etc. So there's over 200 countries in the world, geopolitical countries. Jesus said, go into all the nations. That word nations means this. It's in the Greek, it means ethnos or ta ethne. It's actually where we get the word ethnic group, and we call it people group. So Jesus says, go into all the ethnic people groups. And we define a people group by culture, like go into all the people who share the same culture, the same language, the same way of raising their kids, the same geography, the same way religion, the same ethnic group, linguistic, cultural people groups, nations. The Bible calls that nations. So we have Mohawk Nation, Seneca Nation, Cherokee Nation, Sioux Nation. We have it already in our thinking. But Jesus says all the nations are looked upon like that. We wouldn't call Sioux Nation, Mohawk Nation a country, but we would call it a nation. We do call it a tribe, and they're all distinctly different. And Jesus says, go into all those nations. How many nations are there? There are 12,000 nations, roughly, depending on who you talk to. There's 12,000 nations in the world today. And since Jesus gave the Great Commission, we've been doing this thing called missions work. And for 2,000 or a couple thousand years, we're right here. How many nations have we reached? 7,000 nations. We've reached 7,000 nations, right? The gospel's been flourishing. There's churches and there's activity. God's doing a harvest of the nations. And so that leaves about 5,000 nations unreached. There are 5,000 unreached people groups in the world today. And I can give you 5,000 reasons why Jesus Christ isn't going to return anytime soon. Because he said, I will return when all the nations hear. There are 5,000 nations that have not heard a clear gospel presentation, who've not heard the gospel of the kingdom, all right? And of that 5,000, 3,000 don't even have any missionaries. There are 3,000 unengaged people groups in the world today. No churches, no missionaries, no activity actively reaching out to these people. And some of those unengaged people groups total into millions of people. There are 3 billion people who are unreached in our world today. Roughly around 3 billion people who are unreached. A part of that 7,000 unreached people groups. 3,000 5,000 unreached people groups totaling 3 billion people. 3,000 of that 5 don't even have any engagement. And so that's what we're doing at Live Dead. We're saying we want to be planted as seeds of the gospel. Jesus says when a grain of kernel of wheat has been planted, but if it plants and then it dies, it produces a harvest 30, 60, 100 fold. And we've said yes to the purposes of God to reach every nation, tribe, and tongue to fulfill his dream in the earth. And we partner with God as his children to get that done. And so to unpack a little bit about Live Dead, I have a really cool video to help kind of encapsulate this vision here.
Live Dead is a call to plant churches among unreached people groups through teams.
The heart of Live Dead is to respond to the challenge of access.
We are responding in a very simple way.
Planting churches among unreached peoples through teams.
Teams are groups of people who live in the same city or village
and meet weekly to pray, evangelize, disciple, and plant churches together.
We know that we are stronger together than we are apart.
A Live Dead team is made up of people with a wide variety of skill sets
and may include people from different organizations, generations, and ethno-linguistic groups.
We work in partnership with national believers and the wider body of Christ.
Churches are groups of local men and women who have abandoned their former way of life to follow Jesus.
Some gather in church buildings, but most will meet secretly in houses.
Churches are groups of believers committed to teaching and learning the Bible,
spending time with each other in Christian fellowship, to celebrating the Lord's Supper and baptism,
and to a lifestyle of abiding in Jesus. Without a doubt, our world is covered with lost people.
We don't have to look far to find someone who is lost and in need of the saving gospel that comes only through Jesus Christ. The Live Dead focus is on access to the gospel.
We know of entire countries with fewer than 10 known believers.
An unreached people group, simply defined, is an ethno-linguistic tribe or demographic that is less than 2% evangelical Christian.
There are almost 3 billion people in approximately 7,000 people groups in the world today that are unreached.
Of those nearly 7,000 people groups, around 3,000 of them are what we call unengaged.
No local churches,
no missionaries,
and no teams resident and working towards church planting.
Our goal in Live Dead is to respond to this great need to plant churches that multiply effectively in their own culture.
Live Dead is currently active in training church planters and launching church planting teams in 8 major regions: Africa, the Arab world, Silk Road, Iran, India, Origins, Russia, and China.
In our world today, unreached people tend to be found in countries at war, inhospitable climates,
dense cities, unstable governments, and in the midst of challenging security circumstances.
In this new normal of instability, we are committed to living,
and if needed, dying among the unreached wherever they are found.
Motivated by the love of God, we go where there are no churches and no Christians.
We go where there is no gospel message and where Jesus is not glorified.
We go for the single and uniting mission of the church,
to bring glory to the name of Jesus
among every tribe, nation, and tongue.
That is why we live dead.
Planting churches, unreached people groups, teams.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you. So if you want to learn more about Live Dead Silk Road, that's who we're working with, Turkish people, starting in Turkey, reaching all the countries of the stands. And there's a map and kind of our culture and values and what we're doing. And you could take this in the back. It's at my table. You can have that. And then, the Great Commission. We hear a lot about it. So how can you partner with that? The Great Commission, I like to use the analogy, is a team sport. The Great Commission is a team sport. Some go, some send. Right? But all have to participate. The great commandment is not a suggestion. It's a command from the Lord. And so some go, some sin. So some sinned and don't sin. But some go and some send. And so we all participate in the Great Commission to fulfill his dream in the world. And so are you in the game or are you on the bench? And so this is an invitation to get into the game. And so I have ways that you could partner with me and partner as I partner with God. Like, for instance, prayer is a great way to get into the game. Jesus says, pray to the Lord of the harvest to release workers into the harvest field, right? So that's pretty cool because Jesus says, don't pray for money or power or resources. Jesus says, pray for people. So your prayers are God's human resource department. You pray, God releases. Now, you could be a part of that through prayer. That's just one way you could pray. Now, I have ways you could adopt a church planting team. All right, you could hear Live Dead pray. You could email them, and they'll send you a top secret church planting team, quote unquote, top secret, that you could pray for people on the ground. All right, you could pray for me. I have ways that you could sign up for my prayer updates. I have a little slide here. You could pull out your phone right now. And you could go to harbingernation.org, and you could sign up for my missions update. If you don't have a phone, I have a clipboard out there. If that's not a part of your thing, I got a clipboard. You could sign up there. You could pray for me. And prayer is the work, and prayer is so vitally important. And you could partner with God in the Great Commission by praying from your home. That's sending power. I remember Leonard Ravenhill, one of my favorite preachers. If you haven't heard any of his preaching, check it out. It'll change your life or make you feel like you're not even saved. One of the two. Yeah, and so, anyway, Leonard Ravenhill says this. He says this, that a church's greatness is not measured by its seating capacity, but by its sending capacity. Your prayers send people. Your prayers send workers. Pray. It's really easy. I even have ways that you can pray from your phone. In this book is a journal and ways that you can reach unreached people groups from this side of the world. You can download an app to your phone, and it'll give you an unreached people group to pray for daily and then give you 12 ways to pray for them. All you have to do is actually do it. And then there's ways for fasting and prayer, and there's all types of ways that you can reach people who are from other countries that are closed in your community. And you could have that too if you want to partner with God. It's just an invitation to get into the game. Prayer gets you in the game. Fasting and prayer gets you into the game. Again, fasting, it's terrible. But if you're good at it, go for it. I'm praying God for grace for it, honestly. And so you can pray. You can go. Yeah, you can go. And in fact, I was in prayer a couple weeks ago for this meeting, and I felt like there's a guy named David in here. I don't know if there's a David or is there a David anywhere in this building, but I'm just taking a prophetic risk, if you will. That the God has a call of God on your life for the mission field. And I don't know if that's for you or for here. If you're there, you come talk to me. I want to pray over that. So anyway, you can go. You can go for a week or you can go for a month. And so I have these kind of ways that you can get involved in fulfilling the Great Commission. And so Muslims are great, wonderful people. They're people who want to be happy. They want to have kids. They want to have a family. They want to eat good food, right? And they want to be successful. Whatever. And so Muslims are not our enemy. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, i.e. Muslims. We wrestle against the spirit of Islam. The spirit of Islam is an antichrist religion. Because 1 John says this, if anyone denies that Jesus is the Christ, he is of the antichrist. And so Muslims believe, and Islam, not Muslims, yeah, maybe, Islam teaches that Jesus was not God. They deny his godness. They deny that he was not God. He was just a prophet. They deny he was the Christ. That is of the spirit of the antichrist. And so we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle against the spirit of the antichrist, the principality called the spirit of Islam. That's who we fight against. Your prayers fight against that. Pray. And you can go and you can also give. There's ways that you could invest on a monthly level if you want. I have a pledge card. You think about it. Come talk to me. And I have, this is just another opportunity to get into the game. Your prayers send, your going sends yourself, and then your finances also send. And so there's just ways to get into the game, to get off the bench. That God has desired to partner with you, and it's such a fun journey. It's a challenging journey. It's an adventuresome journey, and we're all called to that, man. We are all called to some degree to fulfill the dream of God for the nations. And so I'm just going to close in prayer. I'm so grateful you allow me to share my story with you, and it's just an honor to be here to share what I'm doing, my heart's cry, and my heart's passion with you. If you have any questions, or I can just pray for you. I'll be out there at the table. And so let me just close in prayer. Father, I thank you. I thank you that you desire to partner with your children to do your great, mighty dream for the nations, Lord. So God, I just thank you, Lord, that you would call us into partnership. Lord, I even pray now that you would release the spirit of intercession in people, Lord, that those who would even now have a heart cry for prayer and intercession, that you would meet them in their need, that you would meet them, Lord, that you would give them a burden for the nations to pray and to cry out for those who don't have you, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you would release that in this room tonight. Lord, I thank you, God. I thank you, Lord, that you would stir people to reach out and to believe God, that they could be used by him. And Lord, I just come against the lie that says they're not qualified. The blood of Jesus qualifies you. You're a child of God. You're qualified. And you may have you given up on your own dream. You may have given up on your own destiny. But God has not given up on you yet. Or never will. He has not. Love never fails. Receive that, and I just thank you, Lord, for your goodness, God. I thank you, Lord, that you desire to partner with us to fulfill your dream. What a privilege, God. What a privilege. We love you, Lord, and we thank you, Lord. We say, Lord, come quickly, Lord, but let all the nations hear, Father. We just thank you, and we bless you in Jesus' name.